CRTV's Radio Network Service. The 7 p.m. news with Rita Uosumbong. In our top stories, Cameroonians are set to benefit from the construction of a modern steel production and transformation plant in Kribi as the government strives to reduce dependence on foreign imports and strengthen local industrial capacity. Coming up in sport, Dinamo Football Club of Douala continued their dominance over Canon Sportive of Yaoundé. The Bonba Job defeated the Pakums 2-0 this afternoon in a delayed day 5 fixture of the top tier league. Details of these and more in a moment. The traditional end-of-year address of President Paul Biya comes up tomorrow, December the 31st, 2024. As Cameroonians expectantly await the address, the nation reflects on the agenda of the President of the Republic at home and abroad, which was impressive, albeit marked by multiple economic and security-related challenges. Details with Unity Palace correspondent Amin King Edward.
President Paul Biya's agenda in 2024 began unfolding as early as in January 5, 2024, when he received New Year wishes of good tidings from state dignitaries and members of the diplomatic corps, a moment as a matter of tradition to fraternize with his compatriots and also have a frank and sincere exchange with heads of diplomatic mission with a view of consolidating the Cameroonian brand on the international stage. And talking about the Cameroonian brand that depicts its resilience and economic potentials, the President of the Republic had a sumptuous time in 2024 to sell to the world the values that have given Cameroon its relevance on the global scene. In this light, President Paul Biya's invitation by his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron to participate in the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, France, and later on August 15 as guest of honor at the 80th anniversary of Allied landing in Provence, France, are two separate invitations and two events that put Cameroon on the spotlight, and particularly President Paul Biya as one of the world's leaders to hold in very high esteem when issues of global concern are on the table. President Paul Biya's presence in Beijing, China, precisely in September 2024, on the invitation of Xi Jinping of China for the China-African summit, also speaks to the extreme consideration that world leaders have for Cameroon and its president, whose quiet diplomacy is offering the best opportunities to find lasting solutions to the most complicated global crisis. In fact, an intense moment of diplomacy on the international scene this 2024 that was also characterized by a series of audiences at home and abroad with some very distinguished personalities and partners of Cameroon, notably the special envoy from Pope Francis and an emissary from the President of Djibouti, plus 8 different heads of diplomatic mission who presented their accreditation letters to President Paul Biya last November 24 at the Unity Palace. Also prominent on President Paul Biya's agenda in 2024 was the recent extraordinary summit of the Conference of CEMAC Heads of State, initiated and hosted by President Paul Biya at the Unity Palace to reset the economic and financial clock of the sub-region. If President Paul Biya successfully kept a clean sheet in 2024 to the admiration of world leaders and in the face of very challenging moments, it would be fair enough to give credit to the Cameroonian people, whose confidence and legitimacy President Paul Biya enjoys. And he also enjoys, in 2024, the very, very prestigious CAF Excellence Award for his incredible investment in the development of sports in Cameroon. What a way for the Confederation of African Football CAF to say, Anselmo, continue, Mr. President.
Unity Palace correspondent Amin King Edward reporting. And on to our in-depth segment of the news. The Prime Minister, head of government, says the strategic choices made by President Paul Biya in the mining sector are gradual but surely reducing the country's dependence on foreign markets. Joseph Jongute was speaking today in Kribi, where he laid the foundation stone for the construction of a modern steel transforming plant on behalf of the head of state. The elite and population of the South region turned out massively in the Kribi Port Industrial Zone to witness the event. Star Building correspondent Christian Chiatam reports from Kribi.
In a tiny portion of the equatorial forest selected to host the Kribi Modern Steel Factory within the Kribi Port area, the clock read 11:30 when the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph Jongute, on behalf of President Paul Biya, positioned the foundation stone of the modern steel transforming plant. A moment of satisfaction not only for the different members of government who worked to set up the project, but also for the elite and population of the South who gathered to watch history in the making. Their joy was expressed by the mayor, who rejoiced over the continuous growth of the Kribi Port Industrial Zone and its effect on the local economy. The Directors General of Kamsteel and of Bestway Finance presented the technical characteristics of the future factory, thanking government for supporting its implantation. The Prime Minister, Head of Government, who represented President Paul Biya, explained the sense behind the setting up of the modern steel transforming factory. Joseph Jongute recalled that Cameroon has suffered greatly from the irregular supply of iron products for construction due to COVID-19, but also because of ongoing conflicts around the world. He noted that the government adopted an import substitution policy to enable Cameroon reduce its dependence on imported materials and increase its production capacity for essential products. The Prime Minister said the steel transforming plant will enable Cameroon to transform iron ore from Balam, which could help reduce the cost of iron products by up to 30%. Joseph Jongute also highlighted the fact that the company, in its first phase, will generate some 2,000 jobs and up to 20,000 when the whole chain goes operational. The Prime Minister said apart from the transfer of technology, from which Cameroonian experts will benefit, the country will also become an exporter of finished steel products to the CEMAC sub-region. From the Kribi Port Industrial Zone, Christian Chiatam, CRTV.
And again, members of the elite and the population of the South region say they are happy with the laying of the foundation stone for the construction of a modern steel transforming plant in Kribi. The population are glad they will directly benefit employment opportunities and corporate social responsibility programs to be carried out by the steel mill. Bruno Ndongwe Fongwe report from Kribi.
As the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph Jongute, lays the foundation stone for the construction of an ultra-modern steel mill in Lolabe in Kribi, in the Port Industrial Zone, the population of the South region are cognizant of the promises made by President Paul Biya to the region, which are progressively being implemented. Louis-Paul Motazé and Véronique Mwampeya are members of the elite of the South region.
When President Biya came here in 2011 for the port of Kribi, he told that you will see a lot of changes, a lot of things that will come. And people thought that it's only the port. No, all what we are seeing today is what the president was talking about.
For the first phase, they said that we'll have 2,000 jobs and we have the railways, what is very important, even for my petroleum sector.
The population of the Oceans Vision and the South region anticipate the job opportunities that will come with the construction of the steel transformation plants.
Most of the school and this one is a very important. Most young people are going to have a job.
The 1,000 billion project of the steel mill will lead to global impact. The population of the South region will equally benefit from the corporate social responsibility programs of the steel mill when it goes operational. Bruno Ndongwe Fongwe, CRTV, Kribi.
And relatedly, the government of Cameroon and the Republic of Congo have solidified cooperation ties and have indicated their determination to promote the socioeconomic integration of CEMAC member states through the Mega Mbalam Nabeba Iron Ore Project. It is a cross-border mining project for which the citizens of the CEMAC community have high hopes. Winston Legge has the details.
One thing is clear. The iron ore project is amongst the world's leading investor attractions. This means there are bright economic prospects for Cameroon with its iron ore deposits in Balam and the Republic of Congo with hers in Nabeba, as well as the CEMAC community as a whole. They are to be mined jointly so that In the international market, the oil will have a single identity. Experts are talking about a project scope that includes constructing a 510-kilometer rail line for the transport of iron ore through Cameroon and 70-kilometer rail spur line connecting the Congolese mines in Nabeba. The steelworks complex for which Prime Minister John Gute has laid the foundation stone is to blend material sourced from Balam and Nabeba deposits. These raise hopes for thousands of job opportunities within the CEMAC zone, the influx of investors, more revenue, plus a rich supply of steel-related products at reduced costs. While the authorities are blowing the trumpets heralding boom days for the CEMAC zone, the people are waiting patiently for the economic explosion within the sub-region.
And Cameroon's acting Minister of Mines, Industries and Technological Development says the country is getting ready to become the first in the Central African region to add value to iron ore. During the ceremony to lay the foundation stone for the Kribi Modern Steel Complex, Phou Kalistus Gentry told reporters that the project will be set up in less than 2 years. He emphasized that Cameroon will process and transform steel-related products, which he has been importing. He spoke to Winston Lebga.
This is the first of its kind in Central Africa. We are going to add value to the iron ore by this big plant, which is going to cost hundreds of billions of francs, and in partnership with our Chinese company, CAMSteel. So we believe that Cameroon will become the first in the Central African region to add value to iron ore. This iron ore from Balam is going to be transformed from 64% to 100%, which will now serve for making iron products in Cameroon, which this while have been imported. And we are going to have iron pellets, which is the base of the iron ore industry. So this is the Mbalam project that has come true, which moves from not just exporting raw material, but is the transformation process, which is in line with the import substitution, the SND 30 plan of the country. We think that the vision of the head of state to implement this project has come to fruition with the development of the downstream sector. It will take 18 months to build this plant. The first phase will be about 73 billion. The final phase is going to cost hundreds of billions in the final installation.
And on to something different now. At the behest of the President of the Republic, the Minister Delegate at the Presidency in charge of defense will pay a working visit to Tuboro and Garowa in the North region tomorrow, the 31st and 1st of January 2025. According to a communique signed by Minister Joseph Bitiasomo, the two-day working visit is part of a tradition established by the Commander-in-Chief, President Paul Biya. As Special Envoy Albert Njembonde has been taking the pulse of the situation from Tuboro and now examines the significance of President Paul Biya's choice of Tuboro and Garowa.
Tuboro subdivision alone is a population estimated at over 250,000 inhabitants, with a total surface area of about 16,000 square kilometers. That alone is bigger than the West region. And nestled in the borderline between Chad and the Central African Republic, where activities of non-state armed groups and rebels makes Tuboro vulnerable to threats, kidnappings and cattle theft have become rife, with some being fatal. By choosing Tuboro and Garowa in what has become a well-established tradition of the head of state to dispatch his minister delegate at the presidency in charge of defense to the front lines on the 31st of December and the 1st of January, President Paul Biya is being sensitive to the plight of the people of this part of the country, an expression of his solidarity. What the mayor of the Tuboro Council, Celestin Yandao, sees as a ray of hope that measures are being taken to contain the threats.
Tuboro now, the population are very afraid about insecurity. But since we hear the information that the Minister of Defense will be here, the solution will about this insecurity will have solution.
Joseph Bitiasomo is also expected to encourage and transmit the congratulations of the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces to the troops making enormous sacrifices to safeguard the territorial integrity of the nation and the protection of people and their property, and to ensure a befitting Epaulette Award ceremony on New Year's Day, rehearsals have been made under the close supervision of the commander of the 3rd Joint Military Region, Brigadier General Aga Robinson Dong, in the presence of close collaborators of the minister dispatched from Yaoundé. Albert Njiembonde, Guy Joenoa, on special assignment to Boro.
And defense and security forces have been reassuring that measures have been taken to address the security threat the locality is facing. The reassurance made by Colonel Roger Fomundam, the commander of the 31st Motorized Military Brigade. He spoke to Albert Njiembonde.
Tuboro is a border town with two neighboring countries. You have the Republic of Chad and the Republic of Central Africa, and the border line between these two countries is about 500 linear kilometers, very, very long. And we have reinforced all our positions at the border post from the south right to the north with reinforcement from the 31st Motorized Infantry Brigade from Goundary. So right here in the town of Tuboro itself, we are carrying out daily patrols in the day and the night so that the town should be at peace. I want to assure you that for the past 2 weeks, there has been nothing. We are fighting with all our means at our disposal so that nothing should be heard about hostage taking. We should celebrate the 1st of January with all our military hierarchy in peace and tranquility.
In other news, slightly over 7.8 million Cameroonians at home and abroad have registered on the National Electoral Registers for 2024, which are now available for public consultation. The figures were published today by the Director General of Elections, Eric Esuse, in a press release, who has called on all stakeholders to access the updated electoral registers at ELECAM's local branches and focal points in diplomatic missions and consular posts abroad. Patience Wingo looks at the facts and figures. Patience?
According to the 2024 revision, the total number of registered voters is 7,845,622, with 7,818,822 voters residing in Cameroon and 26,800 abroad. The gender breakdown shows 4,190,538 male voters and 3,628,284 female voters, with 2,599,720 youth voters and 33,957 persons with disabilities in the country. Voter statistics abroad include 17,419 men and 9,381 women. The consultation period allows citizens to verify their registration details ahead of the upcoming elections. The annual revision of electoral registers will commence on January 1, as stipulated in Section 74 of the Electoral Code. Though January 1 is often a public holiday in Cameroon, citizens can begin registration formalities from the 2nd of January 2025 until August 31. According to Section 74 and 75 of the Electoral Code, the registers are permanent but subject to annual updates. In some cases, the Director General, with approval from the Electoral Board, may order a thorough recompilation of the registers during this revision period. Citizens are therefore encouraged to review their information to ensure it is accurate, as updated electoral registers will be used for the upcoming elections. The process aims to enhance transparency and ensure a fair voting system for all eligible voters.
Patience Wingo there. And the night of the New Year Eve promises to be fun-filled for inhabitants of Douala. Restaurants and cabaret owners have made special preparations to welcome their customers and enable them to cross over to a more vibrant 2025. Cynthia Etim reports.
When it comes to enjoying life in Douala, the popular Rue de la Joie in the Deido neighborhood holds a record just as its name indicates. For the Saint Sylvester feast, tradition will be respected. Drinking spots have been decorated for a colorful crossover night, with managers putting everything in check while promising a lot of surprises for music lovers and nightlifers. Melino is a musical artist and manager of a cabaret.
Come well dressed to bid farewell to the year 2024. There will be a lot of artists. We have a lot of surprises for our guests.
Measures have been taken to ensure a comfortable, safe, and memorable Saint Sylvester night for customers. Ulrich Dobel Dean manages another cabaret in Douala.
We are doing maintenance work. We will add flat screen televisions. We will beef up security. There will be no incident.
Restaurant owners are not left out in the special preparations, with mouth-watering meals on the menu. Rasidatu Do is an assistant cashier at a restaurant in Douala.
We're going to have burning fish, live barbecue throughout the day and the night. We also have achu, ekwan, ndole. There's a family buffet. There will be live music to accompany it also.
As drinking spot owners refill their stocks with liquors and soft drinks to satisfy clients, drinking responsibly is advisable, as opinions hold. Cynthia Etim, CLTV News, Douala.
And as the countdown narrows to the end of year 2024, what exactly is the ambiance like in beer parlors, beauty salons and churches in Garowa? Our reporter Mercy Ashu Nyabuyu captured the ambiance in some hot spots in our report.
From the look of things, the crossover night into the new year 2025 will be a night to remember. In Garowa, bar owners and beauty salons are using the last hours of the year to make quick cash in exchange for pleasure. Prince is a manager at a popular bar in Yerua.
Everything is okay. The music is okay. The service is okay. Even the consumption of goods, service, everything is okay.
The crossover night is also known as a night of excesses when it comes to the consumption of alcohol. Pue Elua Patrick is the manager of a depot for soft and alcoholic drinks.
Nous avons un peu.
We have a reasonable quantity of drinks while waiting for the brewery industry to supply us with more, so we can supply drinks in the outskirts of Garowa. In exchange for some banknotes, beauty salons are getting set to satisfy their clientele. I have come to the salon to style my daughter's hair so we can go glorify the Lord in church. I came to do my nails. I don't want to enter 2025 looking funny, so I will spend my time in church thanking God. The year 2024 is gradually fading out while ushering Garowa city dwellers into a new horizon. Mercy Ashu Nyabuyu, CLTV News, Garowa.
The 2025 budget of the National Observatory on Climate Change stands at 2 billion CFA francs. The budget, which will contribute to the improvement of climate information, was adopted at the head office of the institution in Yaoundé today during the 18th ordinary session of the board meeting. In the following excerpt of an interview edited by Som Lingom, the Deputy General Manager of NOC, Patrick Foga, presents the balance sheet of 2024 as well as some activities to be carried out by the organization next year. Take a listen.
We produce 36 decadal bulletins, alert, 4 seasonal climate bulletins, and all the extreme climate events that occurred in Cameroon were identified and signaled by the National Observatory on Climate Change. Map out all the risk zones in some key regions. And the work will continue in 2025. And the objective here is that at the end of the day, we put in place a management system that can help the key actors, those issuing a building permit, to be able to know exactly which one it's a red zone. Competencies have been devolved to the local authorities. These people need to know what it means to mainstream climate change in their council development plans. We will continue with the operationalization of the regional offices in Marwa, in Douala, and in Garowa.
And we talk sports now. Dinamo Football Club of Douala have left the relegation zone of the National First Division Football League in Cameroon to the fifth position on the unofficial classification table after beating Canon Sportif of Yaoundé 2-0 this Monday in one of the delayed day five matches of that competition. Day five fixtures will be completed on Tuesday when AS Fortuna take on Union Sportive and Colombe Sportive against Stade Renard, all at the Annex 1 of the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé. Ben Collins, Nyoy, very well completes that story.
It was a bitter pill for Canon Sportive of Yaoundé, who were aiming to regain the first position they occupied after day four matches. Dinamo of Douala, who were in the relegation zone, desperately needed the 3 points. Goals from Eurige Mpek and Florian Batum helped the Bonbanjob of Douala escaped relegation zone and moved up to the fifth position. The other two delayed day five fixtures this Tuesday in Yaoundé will also be crucial. AS Fortuna, lodged in the drop zone with 3 points, will face Union Sportive of Douala, who have 8 points. This is a match of extremes, with Union seeking a win to continue competing with the top teams, while AS Fortuna will be battling to leave the relegation zone. The defending cup winners, Colombe Sportive of Deja and Lobo, with 8 points, will seek to beat Stade Renard of Milan and maintain their position in the league table. The league table that is currently led by Gazelle FA of Garoua with 10 points, following their 1-0 win against Astro of Douala. Defending champions of Cameroon, Victoria United of Limbe, thrashed PWD of Bamenda 3-1 and occupied the second spot. 18-time champions of Cameroon, Cotonspor of Garoua, escaped the relegation zone thanks to their 2-1 win against Aigle Royal of the Mungu. 2 day five matches ended in parity, 1-1 between Pante Sportif of Dende and Young Sports Academy of Bamenda, and 0-0 between Bambutus of Buda and Fourth Azu Elite of Yaoundé.
Ben Collins, Nyoy Berry, are bringing us towards the end of our news, but before we go, a recap of our major stories. Cameroonians are set to benefit from the construction of a modern steel production and transformation plant in Kribi as the government strives to reduce dependence on foreign imports and strengthen local industrial capacity. And in sports, as you just heard, Dinamo Football Club of Douala continued their dominance over Canon Sportive of Yaoundé. The Bonbanjob defeated the Pakums 2-0 this afternoon in a delayed day five fixture of the top tier league. And that's it for the 7 p.m. news on the CRTV National Station, brought to you by Rita Yuasambom. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.